Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to Dr. Liz Edwards, the executive director of James Madison University's Morrison Bruce Center. To honor the legacies of Drs. Morrison and Bruce, they are dedicated to enhancing the well-being of girls and women through the promotion of an active and healthy lifestyle. This endeavor is achieved by engaging students and faculty in impact-driven scholarly pursuits and outreach programming with a vision that all women enjoy, lead, and promote active and healthy lifestyles. They value integrity, leadership, excellence, credibility, equality and diversity, knowledge and learning, and community. Dr. Edwards received her undergraduate and graduate education from the University of Miami, and she teaches undergraduate and graduate courses in exercise science at JMU. Welcome to the show, Liz. It's great to have you on today.
Thanks, Dawn. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, this is exciting. I've actually known you for a while because my husband is a colleague of yours in the Department of Kinesiology. And we have I have an interesting indirect tie to this Morrison Bruce Center through him, because when he went to James Madison University for his undergraduate education, the founder of the Morrison Bruce Center is the legendary Dr. Judith Floor. I know her as Judy affectionately, and she was his college advisor at JMU way back in the day. We won't say when, because then that reveals my age, but it's very exciting to actually be able to do this with you today so that we can share all that's been created to provide our community some amazing programs that they can get involved in. And I believe Dr. Floor was a colleague of Dr. Lee Morrison and Dr. Pat Bruce at JMU. Is that correct?
That is correct. When Judy first came to JMU in the 80s, she came here as a coach and faculty member. And Drs. Morrison and Bruce, or Pat and Lee, were sort of towards the tail end of their career, but became very powerful mentors for Judy, as they were for thousands of women that came before her, both as students and colleagues. So Judy worked very closely with Pat and Lee and was very close with them actually until their death almost a decade ago.
Mm. Yes, they were there a while, I think 50 years, maybe something like that, a good long while.
Remained active and influential even after they retired. So all three of them, Drs. Morrison, Drs. Bruce, and Dr. Floor, have just incredible histories of mentorship and service and leadership that are some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, that is amazing. That's a long time, because originally, if you're not from here, you may not know this, or if you're not familiar with JMU's history, they were Madison College at one point originally, which was an all-female institution for quite a while, right?
It was. And in fact, in some of our programs, so our oldest participant is nearing 90, that she comes back to our programs, and she loves to share stories from when she attended Madison College and how basically everything was different back then. But to get to know and hear from some of the people who have seen Madison College become JMU and the incredible evolution is a really unique opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's really incredible what you have to offer in prepping for this interview. I mean, I was aware of some of the programs and events, but there's so much more than I realized. And you are the executive director, and you teach exercise science. Sounds like you have a passion for exercise. So when did you initially discover your love for fitness?
That goes way back. I was involved in sports from a very young age, I guess probably 3 or 4. I grew up in a really small town in southwestern Virginia, where sports were maybe not as competitive as they would be at some of these larger schools today. But the flip side to that was it was easy to get involved, and it was encouraged to get involved. And all throughout that, sports and being active provided me with structure that I loved, provided me with a community. And I continued that through college, but then also had to make that transition to being active for myself as I've moved into sort of adulthood.
What part of Southern West Virginia? Do we talk about this? Because I'm from West Virginia. I missed that conversation.
I was born and raised in Bluefield, West Virginia, right off of 77.
I know exactly where that is. Okay. I used to live as a kid a long time ago. I lived in Williamson, West Virginia, before I moved to Morgantown, West Virginia. So I'm very familiar with that. That's great. Well, fellow Mountaineer, learning more about you. I've known you all this time, learning more.
Well, my parents would be, as I grew up, mostly a Hokie, even though I went to University of Miami and became a Hurricane. I don't know that I could agree to being a Mountaineer in that case and the WVU tie, but definitely a Mountain Girl.
Okay, we're going to go with that. And what do you do today to keep yourself active?
So my two kind of loves or consistent things today are my Peloton bike.
Love and, Peloton.
And I have, over the past couple of years, actually become a registered yoga teacher because I just enjoyed studying and learning more about yoga. And so I kind of just kept training until now I'm certified. But I have a little bit of a funny story about how we got the Peloton.
Okay, tell me about it.
So when the pandemic was first hitting in March 2020, my children at that time were 3 and 5. And my husband is also a faculty member. He's at UVA. And we had been talking about a Peloton for a while. And if you got to go back to March 2020, there's this sense of like impending doom and you don't really know what's about to happen, but you know you're going to be at home a lot. And I just looked at my husband and I said, if we were ever going to buy a Peloton, this is the moment.
Yeah.
And he just said, do it. And I will say that over the following year of virtual kindergarten with our 5-year-old and having our 3-year-old at home full time while he and I both taught virtually, that Peloton was a sanity saver for that next year.
Yes, I love my Peloton. In fact, it's right outside my studio as we speak. I'm a big fan of the scenic rides.
Yes.
Yeah, love that. Yeah, this is pretty exciting. Just hearing about your active lifestyle and us talking about fitness and movement, it's making me hungry right now. I don't know about you. What are you eating? Are you eating what I'm eating?
Well, I just found this caramel popcorn from Preposterous. It's delicious.
Oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm eating. Caramel popcorn from Preposterous Popcorn. What are the odds of this?
I mean, I don't think you can calculate them.
I don't think you can either. You know, I decided to treat myself right now with it because tomorrow is my birthday, Liz Edwards.
Happy birthday, Dawn. We won't talk about which birthday, though.
Yeah, let's don't tell how old I am. But I'm just over here popping it forward to myself to give myself the gift of preposterous. Thanks for joining me on that. Happy birthday to me.
Who could resist?
Who could? And laughers, you can pop it forward too. Their popcorn makes a wonderful gift for all occasions. Birthdays, holidays, employee appreciation days, boss's day, corporate gifts, housewarming gifts, client gifts, literally any gift occasion. So I say it's okay to treat yourself too. Use your discount promo code LAUGH15 at preposterous.com. That's PreposterouS.com. And now back to you, Liz.
I can confirm that I would love getting preposterous for any occasion. Just
say. That's awesome. Well, now I think we need to talk about the programs and events you offer where folks like myself can work off all this extra popcorn.
Yeah. So at the Morrison Brew Center, like you said, our goal is to promote healthy lifestyles and specifically active lifestyles across the lifespan. So we try to serve the whole lifespan, and I think we get pretty close. So our youngest participants are 3 years old. We go into preschool classrooms every week here on JMU's campus. And our oldest participants, I think I already mentioned, one of them is nearing 90 this year, who has been coming back to Morrison Brew Center programs for over a decade. And so between those, we have everything from, like I said, the preschool program, where we go into preschool classrooms. We have a running program out at Waterman Elementary School, where we go onto their site once a week to provide both programming and after school care. We have resistance training programs for adult women, and that program, we get participants from college age well into their 60s, which we love, getting women used to and ready for everything from body weight up to Olympic lifts. We get these women in the squat rack doing those heavy lifts. And then our oldest crew comes in with our older Women's Wellness for Life, where women join us for a whole day of learning about their health, including blood work, blood pressure, body fat, also fitness testing, and leave with a personalized plan for them developed by our kinesiology students.
Mm. Yeah, the preschool thing. There's so many programs in there that are very interesting to me. So I want to talk about a few of those. These preschool programs, how do you do that with three-year-olds? What are we doing with three-year-olds? Tell me more.
That's a great question. So our Healthy Kids program, we have been running that program for 15 years. This is the second year where we have partnered with Young Children's Program, which is a preschool on JMU's campus, but they serve the whole Harrisonburg community, not just JMU faculty or staff. And so our students will go in once a week for 10 weeks. And so through that 10 weeks, each week, we have one basic, simple nutrition message, something like fruits are good for your heart, and helping them learn how to identify fruits. And then we also work on one fundamental motor skill. And so what's interesting is in the research, what we know is that kids who are naturally good at running, jumping, hopping, sliding, they self-select into more physical activity because they're good at it. And so if we can go in with kids and help them gain that skill and become good runners, good jumpers, good hoppers, then physical activity becomes more fun for them. And they do it when they have the opportunity, when they're out at recess, when they've got that free time. And so the earlier we can sort of help set some of that groundwork, the more impact we can have later on.
Oh, my gosh, that is very impactful, because when I think about myself, even as an adult, I think we all do that. If we're proficient at something, we are more encouraged to do it more. And when we're not, we're like, I don't want to do that.
Absolutely. And kids are just little people. I mean, that's simplifying it. But right. You want it to be fun and enjoyable because they're good at it.
Oh, that's so important. And then there was another one you said was popular. I think you're talking about, is it barbells and brunch or what is it called?
Yeah. So barbells and brunch is part of our larger Empower program. And we spell that Empower. So we add an extra H in there.
Yeah.
And this program, so barbells and brunch falls under that. Barbells and brunch was our first version of this, where we used to take over UREC one Sunday morning before it opened. And when I say take over, I mean take over. We were in all kinds of spaces. And this was a couple hour program where women from across campus could come. They could learn about Olympic lifts. They could learn about how to plan resistance training. They could learn how to use machines or kettlebells. We would collaborate with dietetics to have some sessions on nutrition around lifting. So women could really come and self-select the pieces that were right for them. We were always left after that, though, wishing we could continue on. And so in its current form, one of my graduate students, Katie, has really grown this into a weekly program.
Oh, good.
So this semester, for example, Monday evenings, a group of women join together in one of our spaces here in Godwin and do a resistance training workout every week. And my students are obviously planning those, teaching correct form, also building up through those so that those women get to a place where they can do things like get under the bar. And by that, I mean, get into a squat rack, actually use that. Trying to make all of those things less intimidating, make them feel like things that they're capable of doing, whether they're 20 or 60.
Mm. And that they don't have to be, do they have to be the women, a student, staff, or faculty member, women in the community at large can participate?
Women in the community are welcome.
Yeah.
And so we would love to have people, if they're interested, you can email us and we will tell you how to become a part of that program.
Mm. I saw a program too for families. Does that mean moms, dads, and kids? Can you talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. So again, this program has taken many different forms. Our current name is called Families in Motion. And the idea there being, as a working mom myself, I can tell you so much of my life when I'm not at work revolves around my kids. And so if we can get the whole family active, that only gets me active, that sets good standards or good habits for my kids. In my case, I live in a multi-generational household. So you'd also get my mother-in-law active at the same time if you hit my household. And that was the whole idea there. And so we have often run these as sort of one-time programs once or twice a semester. Our students have a lot of fun coming up with fun themes. And every time we've run this, my family has not been the only three-generation family. We will not only get parents and children, we'll get whole children, parents, and grandparents that come in as a unit and learn games together.
Well, that's really great. This is quite the expansion upon an idea with, you know, and hard work put in by Dr. Judith Floor with input from Dr. Morrison and Dr. Bruce. And there, you know, history, there was a time in history where women really weren't as active as they are now in fitness. I think we missed talking about that a little bit earlier, but now that I'm just seeing and hearing all this success, I'd like to talk about that a little bit. So can you speak on that for us?
Absolutely, because I think you're so right. And I would include myself in that. You know, I grew up already in a family and in a town that promoted me being active. And it's hard for me, before I talked to people who lived through these times when that was not promoted, to really understand. And so I'll kind of give a couple of stories. One is from one of those older participants who was sharing what it was like to live at Madison College. One, they've showed us their gym uniforms from back then. And to
really?
Interesting and not particularly conducive to being active, is to say the least. But what's even more striking is, you know, they would have these gym classes, I guess we would call it, but then they weren't allowed to be seen outside in those clothes because it wasn't proper for a woman to be seen dressed in that kind of active wear. So they would actually have to cover up, like with a coat, or change clothes to go back to their dorm even, which is really speaks to the cultural change. Now athleisure is everywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's on sort of the general level. And of course, for women athletics, we can think we just celebrated the 50th anniversary of Title IX, part of which helped mandate equality in how sports are offered. Actually, Lee Morrison, Dr. Morrison, played a role in helping move that legislation forward, which is a really cool tie for the Morrison Brew Center. But women being active and being encouraged to prioritize their own health, it has not been historically always the case. And that then lends to, and then in addition to that, the activity that women were encouraged to do were often pretty narrow. And listen, a good step class can get your heart rate up. I don't want to dismiss that. But we also need to do things like resistance train to maintain our bone mass so that our bones stay strong even as we age. Mm-hmm. Women benefit from so much more than just sort of your stereotypical 80s aerobic class.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. I was just actually looking up. I don't quite have the Joe Rogan team yet, you know, where I could say, hey, so-and-so looked this up. But while you were talking, I did, because there's such an interesting history to point this out about women in athletics and fitness. It was Catherine Switzer was involved in an iconic moment in the 1967 Boston Marathon. She was attacked by the race director, Jock Semple, who tried to throw her out while she was running. The pair became good friends later, and Switzer explains how the day revolutionized women's running. That was 1967, like 50.
I mean, that's within a lot of people's lifespans still.
Yes.
You know, that is a memorable event, not just something that's relegated to a history book, you know?
Yeah. And so as you were just talking about, hey, we've got this for the preschoolers, and we have this in the Waterman Elementary School, and we have this family programs from, you know, the parents, children, grandparents. I was like, look at all these things and all the brunch and barbell or barbells and brunch programs with all the women expanded out to the community. We're doing something, people. You're doing something, I should say. You all are doing something. So thank you for that.
It's not just me. I have the students really drive the center, are the creativity, are the workforce.
Yeah. Yes. I do want to talk about that too, because you run this center, or oversee it, I should say, with Dr. Carson Sackett, who I also know and is delightful. And it is a student run organization. So how do you structure this center where the students, undergraduate and graduate students, are running the programs? How does that work exactly?
Yeah, like you said, myself and Dr. Carson Sackett, or Sarah, we're really the only two long-term staff here, and we are kind of responsible for that long-term trajectory and that big picture. But day to day, it's all students. So at any given time, we generally have two graduate students who are working in the center, and they're with us for 2 years. And then under them are anywhere between 7 to 20 undergrads, depending on the semester. And so our goal is obviously to offer high quality programming, but we also want to train and prepare these future leaders to go out into the community and kind of be that ripple that continues the impact long after they've done their work in the MBC. So these teams of a graduate student, along with several undergraduate students, they are responsible for those programs pretty much beginning to end. So they will come in at the beginning of the semester, we'll train them, and we let them loose, obviously with some guidelines. We're there to guide and mentor. But it's really interesting because not only are we thinking about helping the students learn, obviously, to apply the physical activity stuff, they're also learning how to talk to preschoolers, how to talk to fifth graders, how to talk to adult women, and take that same message across the lifespan. Our graduate students are learning really about that leadership and mentorship. You know, so when there is something that maybe has to be addressed, we work with the graduate students to help them learn how to get over that hump and be able to have that hard conversation so that when they go out into the field, they're even better prepared that way. So yeah, our students are the lifeblood of the Morrison Brew Center. They keep us current. definitely over the past couple weeks, we have a TikTok account.
Oh, wow.
First time a student came and said, we're going to do TikTok. I said, cool, what's that? and they had to sort of show me all of the things that they can do. And so they definitely help keep us relevant, keep us creative and not getting stuck in our ways. And because they are the workforce, they are the ones prepping the lessons, running the lessons, prepping the crafts. All of that is all students, and they're amazing.
So then the length of the programs are within the scope of the semesters in the fall and then the spring. Is there any programming in the summer?
There isn't right now. We have gone back and forth over the years, but that has become the time that Sarah and I can kind of regroup and think long term moving forward, how to refresh, how to come back the next year even better. But also because our students are the workforce. So that is both the best thing about the center and one of the challenges is that we work on that semester schedule. Usually at least 3/4 of our staff is new any given semester. So we've got to train, we've got to get everyone up to speed. And then we hit the ground running. It's often only 3 or 4 weeks from the beginning of the semester to the first program. And those students are expected to be ready to go. And I have to say, they almost always deliver. Like, they really rise to the challenge when you give them that autonomy and that encouragement.
Do the graduate assistants do the most of the training, or are you and Sarah involved in the training when the semesters rotate?
That's a great question. So in terms of what I'll call the logistical stuff, how we share files, the rules, all of that, that's mostly Sarah and I. In the program specifics, when a graduate assistant is new, Sarah and I are really heavily involved because we're also kind of training the graduate student alongside that. But we really encourage them to take ownership of that. And we take our cue from them. And almost always by the second semester, the graduate students are ready to kind of do that program specific training on their own. And so we really encourage those graduate students. We're still talking. We're meeting with the graduate students every week. We're going through in depth what they're doing. But again, we want to mentor them and give them that experience of overseeing and leading the undergrad students, because that's as important a skill as the physiology is when they go out into the field.
Yeah. This is like multi-prong approach, really. If you get involved in the program, not only are you benefiting in terms of bettering your fitness level by participating in the program, but you're also contributing to the education of the next generation of fitness professionals.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is pretty boss, if I may say. Guys are doing boss work over there. How can people get involved? Like, you have research too. You do some research studies. Now, that's not exactly under the scope of Morrison Bruce Center, or is it?
So we absolutely have done research studies in the past, and you can see some of those on our website where we are examining a whole range of things. And so a lot of our research is driven by the fact that different factors matter for women and whether they're going to be active than they do for males. And it's not to say one is more or less, but they're just different. Women, for example, really rely more on social support, and social support makes a bigger difference for women than it does for men. And so my training, as Dawn said, is I'm an exercise physiologist by training. Sarah is an exercise and sports psychologist. So she brings in sort of that mental aspect. And so a lot of our research has had to do a lot with that. Right now, we're not currently enrolling or holding any studies, but there is always an incredibly active research agenda going on in the Human Performance Lab, which is our lab part of the Department of Kinesiology. And there are always students working on theses and other things that are looking for people who are willing to come get involved on the research side.
Oh, that's really great. Yeah, I think that's quite interesting, too, is from making me think about your research study that you do personally. I was reading a little bit about that. And the Morrison Bruce Center is dedicated primarily to, you know, women across the lifespan and promoting an active lifestyle and helping them with that. Your research, on the other hand, is looking at the different genders. So... Yeah, that's very interesting. So you're like the executive director of the Morrison Bruce Center, but your personal research is looking at that difference. And what have you found, and why did you choose that particular research line?
Sure. So my research has varied a lot over the years.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're looking at women-specific populations, or we're looking at the differences between men and women. There are so many examples. So I would call my research and teaching passion outside of women's health to be chronic disease. So that's primarily what I teach, is about how exercise and physical activity impact heart disease and diabetes and cancer. And what we see when we look through the history of some of these diseases, that there are long-standing gender differences. And so we not only see this in terms of activity rates, but we also see this in terms of how well-controlled diseases are, how quickly identified diseases are differs between men and women, the outcomes that are likely to come. And so it's not about prioritizing one or the other. It's about understanding the differences so that we can give both the best treatment. Because I will say that most of our understanding comes from a male perspective, because that is who historically was included in research. And so we have to sort of intentionally go look to make sure that we have both perspectives. And one example of that is that your traditional signs of a heart attack, that if I asked you what signs of a heart attack there are, what would you say? What would you say are the signs of a heart attack?
Chest pain, radiating from the jaw down the left side. Yep. Yeah,
exactly. Those are actually far more common in a heart attack in a man. And in fact, a heart attack in a woman looks more like indigestion, fatigue. So even still today, women are less likely to even self-identify as, hey, this is something going on and I need help, we're more likely to just kind of ignore it and keep going on with our lives. And we're also less likely, once, if we do go to a doctor, to be seen as in a current emergency. Mm-hmm. And that leads to differences in outcomes. And so that's what drives a lot of my research, is understanding how both of these differ. My last couple of years have focused a lot on how exercise and diet influence how we process lipids or fats and glucose or sugar after a meal. And how can we use diet and exercise to improve those levels after a meal? Because how you process glucose or sugar and fat after a meal is really predictive of whether you're going to develop heart disease and other chronic diseases long term.
Mm. So then what is your fitness recommendation at the time?
If I had to sum it up, it is,
yeah,
it's always some is good, more is better. So regardless of where you are, getting moving is by far the most important thing. So we see the most benefit going from, say, 0 to 60 minutes a week of exercise than, say, going from 300 to 360. It's more important that we get you through that low end. But just getting moving regularly, the guidelines are we want you moving for 150 or 2.5 hours a week, 150 minutes or 2.5 hours a week, at a pace that is challenging. Doesn't have to be that you're breathless, but you shouldn't be able to sing. You should be working hard enough that you can't carry a tune.
Okay.
And what we see is if you do that, if we can get you moving consistently 150 minutes a week, we reduce your risk of heart disease by like 30%, your risk of diabetes by like 30%. I mean, big numbers for not, I think sometimes people think it's going to be this big, complicated prescription. And it's really get out and get out consistently.
Get out and get moving. When people come through your programs, you're doing a pre and post assessment so they can see how well they did while they participated in the program. Is that part of their involvement?
So yeah, it depends on the program. For example, with our Girls Have Heart, we're often having them work up to a continuous mile by the end. And so they're building up to, in the last day, we have sort of a party where we're running, they're running that together. And for some of them, that will be the first time they've ever done that in a continuous stretch. In other programs like our Empower program, which is resistance training, we're encouraging them to sort of benchmark how they're doing. We also every week spend time setting goals. So they're thinking about the goals that are relevant to them, and we're tracking whether they're making progress. And maybe that's towards being able to do a full push-up on their toes. Maybe that's towards a certain squat level. And so we try to let them set those goals and drive them themselves. But then we also have programs like OWL, our Older Women's Wellness for Life. Some of those women have been coming to us for over a decade, and we keep that data. So when they come to see us every year, we compare their cardiovascular endurance. We compare their chest press and leg press to where they've been every year for the past 10 years, or as often as they've come. We look at their blood values over that time. And so we're really looking at that long-term trajectory and helping them identify changes that are maybe happening more slowly than they realize, both good or bad, because sometimes we know aging is tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any success stories that come to mind when you think about your time at the center, or ones the students may have shared?
So many, honestly, because for me, they're all the little moments. So I love when, I can't tell you how many times I've run into a parent who's been in our Healthy Kids program, and they're like, yeah, they come home and they're like, no, we need a fruit on this plate. And so they're going home and taking that to their families.
Good.
And not only advocating for themselves, but for making change in their families. And I'm sure some of that is because someone outside their parents told them they needed the fruit.
Right.
So I love a story like that. Or another example was during the pandemic, when we were all virtual, one of our programs was a family 5K. And so we had a 10-week training program that families could do together. My students made videos every week of dynamic warm-ups and stretches and wrote the training plan for them. And I was dropping my daughter off at Explore More Discovery Museum one day for a camp. And I saw a mom with the shirt on, and I was like, oh, hey, like I I know that program. Those are my students. And she just lit up and said, my family had so much fun doing this together. It kept us active. It gave us a plan. And those are the moments where it's like we've gone into real life and helped nudge behavior in this meaningful way.
Ah, that's delightful. Family. I don't think we talked about the family 5K till just then. That's exciting. Is that still going on now?
So we're now kind of going back to Families in Motion. So that was sort of under our Families in Motion umbrella. But during the pandemic, we had a year where we were entirely virtual.
Got it.
Almost every program got recreated, and that was one of them.
Okay. Yeah. Your center's got a lot going on. And even though it's dedicated to enhancing the lives of girls and women across the lifespan, I noticed when I was checking out your Facebook that you actually get help to run the program, not just from female students, but from other gender students as well. So, talk to us about that. That's how do they get involved? How does a student or a volunteer get involved? And how would they go about doing that?
Yeah. So most of our students are kinesiology or exercise science students doing a practicum or internship. So our exercise science program requires 2 fieldwork experiences. And you're absolutely right. We have both females and males and non-binary on our staff almost every semester. And I love that because that's how we actually close gender gaps, right? It's not about further segregating. It's about giving each the attention. And so those students, I will say, to get involved with us, those students have to apply and interview. And they always impress me with the skills and experiences they bring to the table. And I love that. But we also partner with people outside of JMU. So it's not just students. For example, I was just meeting yesterday with an instructor from RMH Wellness who's going to come in and help with our OWL program this year. Or we bring in speakers or anyone who has some expertise or some experience that would help us in one of our current programs or wants to come talk about a new program. We are always open to ways if there was, you know, an organization or a person in the community who sees a need and sees us as someone who could partner with them to help fill that need for our community. That's a conversation I want to have every day.
Okay, great. And what is the OWL program?
OWL is Older Women's Wellness for Life.
Oh.
That's that big clinical and fitness training program I was talking about. That's one whole day. We go from like 7 a.m. all the way through dinner. It's a long day, but it's amazing.
Okay. And when older women, what age does that start for that
program? Generally, we don't have a hard date, but we're generally targeting sort of 60s and up.
Okay.
And that is, again, open to members of the community.
Okay. Well, listen, laughers, I think if you want to improve your fitness level there, it seems to be something available for you over there at the Morrison Bruce Center. If you want to do family fitness, there looks to be a lot available to you at the Morrison Bruce Center. So Liz, how best can people follow the center on social media or otherwise so they can connect with you and your team?
So if you visit our website, which is jmu.edu/MBC, Morrison Bruce Center. You can find all of our socials. We are active on Facebook and Instagram. We're posting multiple times a week, both about what's going on in the center, about our students. You kind of get to know our students if you follow our pages, but also about just general health and wellness information. Again, all of that's available through our website. You can also check out our Empower TikTok, which has a whole library now of individual resistance training exercises that you can
at home,
including kettlebell, dumbbell, resistance bands with instructions, technique, all of that built right in that my students have been building for the last 3 years.
Oh, that's great. Did you say the TikTok handle and I missed it? Is it Morrison Bruce Center?
I think it's called Empower, but if you go to our Linktree slash Morrison Bruce Center, we link to everything there.
Okay, excellent. Laughers, we'll be sure to put their link tree in the show notes for you as well. So if you're driving or working out, you don't have to worry about it. Go right in the show notes to grab that so you can see that. That's pretty exciting that they're using the TikTok that way to give people, walk them through an exercise resistance routine. That's amazing. So we're going to put that link in the show notes for you, Laughers. Plus, we will also have for you that discount promo code LAUGH15 so you can buy that delicious gourmet popcorn at prepopstress.com. That's PrePopstress.com. And that link will be for you in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, Liz. This has been very fun and delightful and also fit-spirational to chat with you about all things regarding fitness and movement today for girls and women across the lifespan. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Dawn. I had so much fun with you here today.
It's been great. And Laughers, you can learn more about the Morrison Bruce Center and sign up for one of their programs if you go to www.jmu.edu/MBC today. That's MBC. You can also donate to the program or contact them through the website as well. If you or someone you know can benefit from their expertise, share the good news of the Morrison Bruce Center and help spread the word. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us. And we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.